Name this morning. Once again, it's a privilege to be in the house of God, to worship and adore a wonderful and holy God. And it's only by His grace that we can be perfect before Him and to worship Him. The message this morning I entitled Let Go and Let God, taken out of Matthew 6. Just a little introduction to this message. It's a message that has been kind of rolling around in my mind along this topic. And I had an encouragement from somebody here from the congregation as well to preach a message on this subject. And I also listened to a message by Adrian Rogers that I used parts of as well in this message this morning. Let go and let God, for an introduction scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is a prayer for you, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer to you is that our whole body, spirit, soul, and body would be preserved blameless. And just looking at that, a paragraph out of the pulpit commentary says this: the apostle here divides human nature into three parts. We have spirit, soul, and body. And this threefold division is not a mere rhetorical statement. The apostle is pouring forth from the fullness of his heart a prayer for his converts. But it's also a distinct statement of three components, parts of the human nature. The spirit, which is the highest part of man, and which assimilates him to God and renders him capable of religion and susceptible of being acted upon by the Spirit of God. We also have the soul, the inferior part, his mental frame, his mental nature, the seat of his passions and desires and natural propensities. And we have the body, which is the physical frame. So we have three parts. Our bodies are made up of spirit, soul, and body. These three are very much connected. And I enjoy reading about these things. And just the fact that how these three are so intertwined, the health of these three. When our spiritual life is not well, it can affect our soul, our emotional being, which in turn can affect our spiritual body. Or when our physical body becomes out of shape or is not well or is hurting, it can affect our emotions, which in turn affect our spiritual life or where it should be. So it can kind of become a merry-go-round. So what I'm addressing today, and possibly another message or so on being healthy spiritually, even emotionally or mentally, and also physically. So we'll see how God leads in that way. But I find it just very interesting how all of these three are intertwined with each other, and that you can't really separate one from the other. It takes all three. Today, I'm going to be focusing more on the emotional part, our soul, our emotions, and who we are. An emotion is a natural instinctive state of mind deriving from one's circumstances. So today we have many emotions, and there can be good and bad. One part of those emotions that I want to focus on today, and there are many, it could be anger and some of those, but I'm going to be primarily looking at worry or anxiety, stress, depression, along that line. Studies would tell us that anxiety is on the rise. More people are anxious about things today than what they were a year ago. That keeps rising, the percentage of people. Not sure what all that is. Some studies will say, well, not necessarily. We just face different things. But nevertheless, I think there is a possibility that our anxiety can rise, and Maybe one of those or several of those reasons would be that we have so much more access to media, so we can know what's going on around us. And the more we know about all the bad that's going on around us can make us more anxious and uncertain about things of the future. Another thing that could be a factor is social media. As we're connected and as we see other people and we are comparing ourselves to other people, and so we get anxious about who likes us better and how many likes we have, and these people are going on vacation and I can't, and these people are doing this, and so we can become unsatisfied, and it can make us anxious and worried about things. The phrase "let go and let God" is a popular phrase, and I'm sure you've all heard of it. Let go and let God. It's a popular phrase and it sounds simple. Okay, we'll just let go and let God. But it can also be misunderstood. Letting go is not just simply sitting back and doing nothing. The popular idea of this phrase is to do nothing, say nothing, feel nothing, and just simply live. Just live in the moment, and we don't do anything. But the Bible clearly speaks that we are fighting a fight. We are running a race. We need to be engaged, and we need to be active. And as I think of letting go and letting God, doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to have a life of ease. As we think of Jesus in the garden, he let go of his own will, and he prayed that the cup would be removed. And as he let go, did his life get easy? No. He went through the most excruciating pain that there ever can be, but I think he was at peace with where God wanted him to be. So letting go and letting God have his will doesn't always indicate a life of ease. As we think of letting go and letting God, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. So as we go through life, and as we think of letting go, as we let go, we need to trust God. It's an important part. Trusting God is part of letting go. Trusting God with all our heart, not just part of it, with all our heart. And we don't depend on what we know, our knowledge, our understanding, but we surrender and we trust God. And we also seek his will, and he will show us what to do. So as we get into today's sermon about letting go or do not worry, we have 1 Peter 5, 7. I just put all three translations up here. The King James, we all know that. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The NIV says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And the NLT says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. So one important aspect that we need to know is that God cares for us. Above all else, God cares about us. So we need to just lay those anxieties and those burdens at his feet. Getting to our text today, Matthew 6, 19 to 34, if you want to turn to it. I didn't put the verses up here on PowerPoint, but you can follow along. I'm going to be reading them in the NLT, the New Living. I think we're all very familiar with this passage. And I'm going to start in verse 19, Matthew 6, 19. Says this: don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good and your whole body is filled with light, but when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So what is he saying? Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry, be happy. How many remember that popular saying from back in the late 80s, I think? Don't worry, be happy. But worry, really worry, is having your focus on the wrong thing. And that's one thing I want you to remember. I'll say it again. Worry is having your focus on the wrong thing. When we worry about things, it means we're focusing on the wrong thing here. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Just thinking about worry, we need to define this. Several dictionary definitions says worry is to torment oneself or to suffer from disturbing thoughts, a worried condition or feeling uneasiness and anxiety. And I have a little story here, and this is definitely worry at its worst, I think. This was reported in a Time magazine on August 14, 1989. We have the sad story of a man from East Detroit who basically died of fear or worry. He had taken a number of fur trapping expeditions over the years and had been bitten by his share of ticks. Then he heard about Lyme disease, which is carried by deer ticks. He became obsessed with the fear that he had been bitten in the past by a tick with this disease and that he had passed the disease to his wife. Doctors tested him and assured him that he didn't have Lyme's disease, and that even if he did, the disease is virtually impossible to transmit to his wife. But the man didn't believe doctors. Paranoid because of the disease, the man killed his wife and then himself. The police found this man's mailbox jammed with material describing Lyme disease and a slip confirming a doctor's appointment for yet another Lyme disease test. Fear can distort a person's sense of reality. Fear can consume us, or worry can consume us to the point where we're not even thinking rationally. Probably all of us are guilty of worry, but we need to trust God. Worry, maybe this morning, if you're poor, maybe you're young married, you might worry where the money's going to come for to pay all the bills, send your students to school. Maybe this morning you're rich. You worry that somebody might take advantage of you or take your money. Maybe if you're older, you worry about how's the end of life going to be and what's going to happen to me. If you're young, you might worry what lies ahead of you. worry is not good. And we'll get into more of maybe a worry is not having a concern or anything. Worry is when it goes, when it robs you of joy. That's worry. Just looking at our text here this morning, I got these points from the message I listened to from Adrian Rogers. And this morning's text talks about five areas of things that we shouldn't worry about. These all start with F. So I have them on PowerPoint here. First of all, we shouldn't worry about finances. First of all, finances, I think for most of us, are a pretty important part of our life. They're pretty much connected to about everything. We know that it takes money to buy food, takes money to buy clothes, and just to provide for family. So when the bank account gets low, we get a little nervous. It's like when you're driving your car and the low fuel light comes on, you quickly start doing some calculating how far it is to the gas station so it can fill up with fuel. And so that's maybe how it is with finances. We're always like planning out where to make sure this reaches. So finances are a big part, but he says, don't worry about it. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. Don't worry about finances. I'm going to take care of you. The next one we have, food. Now maybe this isn't one that we worry about too much. We have plenty of food. I think most of our house has enough food for a while. Maybe the ladies have a little more anxious and worried thought about food when you have the meal at home cooking in the oven and you have guests coming over and you wonder if the stove's gonna light on the time bake or whatever. And you're afraid maybe it'll burn or... So you might have some anxious thoughts about food. But as we all know, there are many, many hundreds and millions of people across the globe that don't have it like we do. They work and work and work basically just to find food, and they might even miss a meal or two because there just isn't any food. And it says about water as well. So we worry. I mean, there's a lot of people across the globe that worry about food and having good drinking water that's safe to drink. Maybe that's not as much our thing, but I think we can worry about food. The next one, talk about is fashion. Fashion, we're referring to clothes. Don't worry about the clothes. And again, I don't think we're too worried about not having enough clothes in our closet. I think we got plenty of clothes to wear. But we're maybe more worried about what other people think about what we wear. And we obsess and we get we worry about that. We stress out about that. The next one, fitness. And again, maybe this is going out on a limb a little bit. We're worried about fitness, which is our physical health. We worry about that. And it says here that who can worry, if I can find the verse now. In verse 27, the King James says, add a single cubit to his life, or add a single cubit to his stature, I think, which if you take that literally, it's talking about growing in height. But I think a lot of the Greek and other translations would indicate that who of us, by worrying, by stressing out about life, can add any moments to our life? We just can't do it by worrying and stressing about it. So, yeah, we stress out about the right exercise program or diet plan, but we don't have to worry. God still has our days numbered. So by worrying, we can't add anything to our life. We can worry about, like this guy, you know, he's worried about having Lyme's disease, but it really didn't It didn't help him out. And maybe the bigger one that we worry about is the future. Who of us has never worried about the future or what's around the next bend or what's coming? We all know that uncertainties can be, of the unknown, can be worrisome. We can worry about who the next president will be. Will that change who the next president will be? Not really. We can worry about who our children marry or who will take us care of us when we get old. Or there are many things to worry about the future that we just simply do not know. But God says, don't worry. It will rob you of joy today. Anxiety springs from the desires that things should happen as we wish and not as God wills. So what is Jesus saying by bringing this out, by just saying, don't worry? What is he actually, what is the core here? What is he saying? And it can almost seem, like I said earlier, the let go and let God, or don't worry, is like, I'm just going to sit back and I'm not going to do anything. God's going to take care of me. That's what he says. So it can almost seem like we're having a contradictory thing here. But I think some of the things that he's not saying, he's not saying that we shouldn't go to work tomorrow and provide for our family, because there's scripture that says he that doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. So don't plan on not going to work tomorrow. The money probably won't automatically come into your bank account. Or he's not saying, when you go home today, just sit at the table and don't worry about preparing food. It's just going to probably won't happen. He's not saying that either. He's not saying don't prepare any meals or don't get any groceries, because God is going to take care of you. And he brings in simple things like birds. And we see the animal life around us. The robins have to go pecking at the ground for the worms. They have to work for their food. Squirrels will gather nuts for their food. And so we have that. So God is saying, don't stress out over it. Don't worry about washing your clothes, or don't worry about, we could just all wear a gunny sack. Don't worry about how you look or how you dress or exercise or taking care of yourself. That's not what he's saying. So what is he saying? The point that he's bringing out here is that life is bigger than those things. Life is more important. There is more to this life than eating and what we wear. Now, eating's pretty important. It is for me anyway. I like a good meal. But that is not the most important. Life is more than the physical things that we see. Life is not the end. There is eternity on the other side, a life that is not bound in time and space. So seeking God is the most important. Verse 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. That is first priority. And what does he say then? Then he will give you everything you need. So after that, then we can be concerned about what we eat and what we wear. But first of all, God, seeking the kingdom of God and living right is more important. I don't think that he's saying that we shouldn't plan or be concerned or be active. Just don't let it paralyze you. Just don't let it ruin the quality of life, like a deer freezes in the headlights and doesn't know what to move, but to be action. Whenever worry enters our mind, another emotion tends to tag along with it, impatience. And how often is that true? When we start worrying about, is because we really are impatient. Often we grow impatient by worrying that life won't turn out the way we think it should. And we unconsciously say, the Lord can't handle this, so I have to do the worrying for him and trying to figure this out for him. Adrian Rogers says this, worry kind of falls under two categories. on the things that we worry about. We can worry about things that are beyond our control. So we can worry about those. Things that we have no control over. And just a little incident that happened to me, just a small thing. Last Sunday night, I was going to go get a drink, and I opened up the spigot, and there was no water. So I did what I could. I checked the breaker and checked this and that, and there was what I could find was okay, but there was no water. So this was 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. What was I to do? But, you know, our minds tend to go into overdrive. Well, how am I going to get this fixed? How much is it going to cost? How long am I going to be without water? So our minds can tend to go into overdrive. And so when this happens at 10 o'clock at night, it can tend to affect the quality of sleep. But interesting enough, I was thinking about this message already, and I thought, well, this is ridiculous. There is not a thing that I can or need to do tonight. There is not a thing I can or need to do tonight. There's only one thing to do, is that is when the well guys open up at 7 o'clock, I give them a call. And so I did sleep pretty well that night. But that was just one little instance of worrying about something that we have absolutely no control over. I couldn't control when the water pump was going to quit working. So there was nothing to do, there was nothing to fret about, nothing really to be concerned about, because I'm going to pay what it costs anyway. So just one instance where we can just relax and allow God to, I mean, yeah, the situation happened, but there was nothing to do about, really nothing to worry about. It really didn't have to affect my quality of sleep that night. Another thing we can worry about is things that we can do something about. So if we can do something about it, why worry about it? Just do it. Just put your shoulder to the wheel and do it. Just get out there and do it. Maybe if it is about finances, you need to get a budget or cut some spending. And there are, maybe if it's about a relationship, you need to make amends. Just do it. Don't wait around. Just take care of it. Forgive the person that has wronged you. So the bottom line, worry tends to focus on myself and not trusting God. I'm going to share this story. I'm sure all of you have heard it. It's about the tightrope walker walking across Niagara Falls. I'm pretty sure it was shared here at this church already. Just in case you haven't heard it, and just it so vividly makes a point that I want to bring out here this morning. This is about Charles Blondin, a famous French tightrope walker. Blondin's greatest fame came on September 14, 1860, when he became the first person to cross a tightrope stretch 11,000 feet, about a quarter of a mile across the mighty Niagara Falls. From both Canada and America came from miles away to see this great feat. He walked across 160 feet above the falls. A large crowd gathered and buzz of excitement ran along both sides of the riverbank. The crowd oohed and aahed as Blondin carefully walked across one dangerous step after another, pushing a wheelbarrow holding a sack of potatoes. At one point, he asked for participation of a volunteer. Upon reaching the other side, the crowd's applause was louder than the roar of the falls. Blondin suddenly stopped and addressed the audience. "Do you believe I can carry a person across in this wheelbarrow?" The crowd enthusiastically yelled, "Yes, you're the greatest tightrope walker in the world. We believe." "Okay," said Blondin, "who wants to get into the wheelbarrow?" And I think that so much kind of explains or kind of says where I am. See, I can look out across the audience and I can see different people and I can say, you know what? I can come up to you and God can take care of your problems. You just let him take care of your problems. Just give it all to God. He's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry. But what? That's easy for me to say, but it's easy for me to get into the wheelbarrow. Yeah, he can do it for you, but I'm willing to trust him. So I think that's one thing that I have to remember, that I need to trust him, and we all need to trust him. But if we believe God can do it, he can do it for me, and he can do it for you. Let go and let God. It's when we truly let God go, let go and let God take care of those situations. He will. And again, you know, it kind of sounds like a paradox, like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, where we need to be active and we need to be concerned, we need to plan, we need to be involved, but yet on the other hand, we need to sit back and let God take control. So it's not necessarily an either or, it's a both. You know, if we focus on the fact that we're not enjoying something or it becomes tedious, we have this illustration. A student is squirming in class because he believes that there's somewhere else he needs to be. As soon as that bell rings, his whole world seems to change. But it really hasn't changed. It's only his perception. And when we can, in the situation we're in, just enjoy what we have. Enjoy where we're at, even if it's difficult. We can just allow God to use that situation. Don't worry about tomorrow. Verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow brings its own worries. Today's troubles is enough for today. And that's kind of what I was getting at. You know, if we're going to be thinking and let's enjoy today, let's remember the past, plan for the future, but enjoy today. We can remember the past, plan for the future, but we need to enjoy today where God has us. So the focus needs to be on the right thing, and that is pursuing the kingdom of God and living righteously. In closing, I just want to leave you with this verse. It says in Psalm 55:22, says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So with this verse here, as we cast our burden, our worries, our anxieties, whatever, as we allow God to take care of those, it doesn't mean we're going to have it easy. It doesn't mean we're going to not struggle or experience pain or go through difficult times. But he says this, he will sustain us. He will take care of us. And he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He has got us in his hand. His grace is sufficient. He is almighty. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Again, we are just so grateful for your love and the fact that you care about us. You care about us more than the animals or the plants. And you will sustain us no matter what we face. So God, we just place our lives into your hands. May we get into the wheelbarrow, as it were, and let you take care of us. So we just commit each of us into your hand. We pray this through Christ. Amen. Dean, do you want to come make some comments?